Lord Jesus Christ. And truly it's a privilege, a honor to be found in his presence to worship and to magnify and to lift up his name. I'd like to take the opportunity of thanking the leaders for this privilege of sharing God's word to you this morning. It's great to be in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning my text is taken from Luke chapter 5 and verse number 16. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 16. And so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And it happened on a certain day that as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of law sitting, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring him and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up onto the rooftop and let the man down with his bed through the tiling into the midst of before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason and say, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to rise up and walk? But you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he rose before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." I pray, may God bless the reading of his word. We find in this chapter, in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 16, that the Bible says Jesus, he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And we see in Luke chapter 11, when Jesus in verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and when he sees that one of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" So here with Jesus, he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished praying, one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And we find that Jesus, he often spends time with his Father. And then we find in Luke chapter 11, we find that Jesus begins to teach his disciples how to pray. And he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." The reason why the disciples asked Jesus why to pray, because they knew that when Jesus prayed and when Jesus was alone with his Father, that the power of God was being manifested greatly in his life. So they knew that signs and wonders and miracles were taking place. So they knew that Jesus' secret was the time that he spent with his Father. And this is why they come in Luke chapter 11 and said, "Teach us how to pray," because we want to experience the supernatural power of God. We want to experience what you are experiencing in your life and in your ministry. And I believe that as the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, Jesus often withdrew himself to pray. So I must say, if we want to see the power being often being manifested in the church, in our lives, in our family, in our children, we need to often pray and seek the supernatural, because in through prayer we find the power of God lies in the prayer life of Jesus, with the secret in the Father's presence. And this is what Jesus wants the church to do. So he often withdraw. And sometimes we often do things that sometimes that are contrary to the word of God. I was just thinking here this morning that suppose if King Charles came to the church this morning, how many of us will be prepared and will be so much early in the church and we'll go through all this preparation and we think we're not ready. And sometimes how do we come into the Father's house? Because I believe that Jesus is standing here with us. So there must be a preparation even when before you can come into the house of God, that there must be a preparation within us to pray that the supernatural power of God will be manifested. So Jesus, he often withdraw himself to pray. In Acts chapter 2, and we find that Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, we find that Jesus said to the disciples, tarry into Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. We find that the Bible says that 10-day prayer in the upper room teaches us a simple lesson. Little prayer will accomplish little things, but much prayer will bring down the power of the Holy Spirit, will bring down the fire, will bring down the anointing, will give the church the breakthrough that we have not experienced as never before. So this is the thing that we must try to do often, is to pray. Sometimes we often on our phones, and I'm guilty of this, we often doing things that seem to drift us away from God. And all these things, I am number one guilty of this. So the Bible says, yeah, Jesus, what he took? He took pleasure to be with his Father. So that is why if you love something within your heart, you begin to seek that person. You'll begin to seek him with all your heart as well. So there must be a time where as a church this morning, let it become often to be in his presence, to spend time with him and to spend time experience his power and experience his love. Because we find in the next verse, it says, the power of the Lord was present to heal. You see, the power of the Lord was present to heal. And we must believe that the Holy Spirit must work in the church, must work in our lives. So what brings the power to be present is through the life of prayer and the life that we spend time with God, seeking the supernatural power of God. I heard a testimony yesterday that someone said someone was on the life machine and this person said that God told him to pray for this person on the life machine. So when he approached the person said, no, he's about to die. The next day we're going to take him out of the life machine. And this person still kept within his heart believing that God's going to heal this person. And God spoke to him again, I'm going to heal that person. So the next day, at a certain time, they took this person out of the life machine. And the doctor said he'll have maybe a few hours and then he will die. But to the doctor's surprise, the man continued to live. And then he said if he lives, he won't be able to walk or do anything. But after 2 days, he began to walk, he began to live. There is something that God has for the church. But it isn't when we often be in his presence. Sometimes we often in the wrong places. And I am one of them that's often in the wrong places too. But God wants us to be often in his presence because the power of the Lord is present to heal. So God's power is present to heal when his children come in his presence. And his power is present to heal today, even this morning. Because he said, where two or three are gathered, I am there in the midst. And because we are the temple of God, the presence of God is on the inside of us. We carry the very presence of God. So his power is present to heal. And we must experience his healing power, because the price for healing, he paid it on the cross. So God's power is present to heal you at any given moment. But we must believe that the power of God is going to be manifested. When you look at this story here, the Bible says that as he was teaching the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and came out of all from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. So here we find that Jesus, where he's teaching in a person's house. And then he said the scribes and the Pharisees came from Judea, Galilee, and all of Jerusalem. So it seemed like it was a pastor's meeting or something in our terms. Like a leadership meeting, a leadership thing. But the thing is, this house was full with those people. So the ordinary people could not have access into the very presence of God. And yet we find that there's three kinds of people in the story. Is this religious people, they were bound in a set way, bound in a set, in the tradition. Even when Jesus came, they did not accept him as the Messiah. So we find that the three types of hearts of people, you have these people that are bound in this religion. They were set in their own ways. The next person, we find that the next heart of people person was the man who was paralyzed. Jesus says to this man, "Your sins are forgiven you." And the Pharisees and they knew that only God was able to forgive sin. So this man, although he was in the sinful condition, what he was still sinning. Because Jesus would have told him, "Get up and walk." Remember, there is a story in John chapter 5, this man is sitting at the pool of Bethesda waiting for the moving of the water. And the Bible says that when Jesus came to him and said, "Do you want to be healed?" He said, "Yes, Lord, I want to be, there's no one to put me in the water." And Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And the man went his way. Afterwards, the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Who healed you?" He said, "I do not know, because there was a multitude of people in that place." After this man came back to Jesus. And what Jesus says to him, "Go and sin no more." So this man, he was sitting at the pool of Bethesda in a holy place where he saw the power of God, where he saw the blind being healed, the crippled being healed, the deaf being healed, the dumb being healed. And he's sitting in a holy place, yet he was in his condition still sinning. Jesus said to him, "Go and sin no more." And then the third type of people is this man's friends, his four friends who had faith. And when Jesus saw the faith of his friends, he demonstrated the power of God in a supernatural way. And when you think about this context, read the context of the story. We find that in the story where Jesus was teaching, nobody had faith. He was teaching in the man's house. He's teaching. Nobody had faith. But yet the people from the outside came, carried this man on the stretcher, and Jesus saw their faith. He moved into action. So this is the thing. These four friends, or say four, they carry the stretcher. And here this man with the stretcher, he's bound, he's paralyzed, and he's bedridden, can't walk. These four men did something for this man to receive his deliverance and his healing and his restoration. When they came to Jesus, and they saw that the the entrance was blocked. They went and made a hole to the rooftop and lowered this man to Jesus. So when you look at the story, why this man got healed? There's only one reason: because of his friends. Look at the story again. He didn't get healed because of himself. His friends pushed him to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. What my point is, what I'm trying to say to you, you may be having a person, someone like this man who is paralyzed, someone who is lost, someone who doesn't know God, someone who is suffering, someone who is sick, someone who needs a miracle, someone who is totally far from God. All you just need a few friends, a few people, is to bring that person to Jesus. And how we can bring that person to Jesus is through our prayer. We can pray and we can intercede and say, Lord, you know, this is my child and this is the situation that she's facing or he's facing. And I pray for a miracle that God will deliver her and God will set her free and God will give him the victory. God will bring healing and God will bring deliverance in that person's life. So we, through our prayers, carry people to Jesus. We lower the man, we break the restrictions and break the barriers where things were blocking you and restricting you. We break those barriers and bring that person to Jesus. So you may know somebody that is struggling. All you just need to do is to hook up with someone who can believe with you and trust God that this is going to happen in that person's life. So the Holy Spirit can work and bring conviction into that person's life and to transform and change that person's life, even to deliver and to bring healing to that person. All we need to do is to have that faith. Faith is the only thing that will move the hand of the supernatural, will move the hand of God. And that is why when we pray, we must just not just pray for the sake of praying and just because out of religion or out of tradition. We must pray in our hearts, believing that God will answer our prayer, believing in our hearts that God will make a difference in that person's life. Because when you are praying in the natural. You're praying in an environment that you can hear. But through our prayers, we are entering into the supernatural presence of God. We are entering into the very supernatural power of God. And that is why sometimes we just think we're just praying for the sake. I just need to pray. It's the morning or it's the evening. Or I just need to pray. But when we pray in our hearts and believe, we are entering into the supernatural realm. Remember the story Gabriel? When he came to Zechariah, he said to Zechariah, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. 6 months later, what the angel comes? He comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a child. And she said, how can these things be? He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then in verse 35, he says, nothing with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. You know what? Not actually Gabriel is trying to say. He said to Zechariah, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. And then he says to Mary, nothing is impossible, God. I know being in the presence of God, nothing is impossible with God. So when you are in that very presence of the supernatural power of God, nothing is impossible, God. So God is trying to say to us, we need to carry people even through our prayers. We must have a burden with them. We must carry people within us. We must have a burden for lost people. We reject those who are rejecting, those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who are despised. We must have a burden, a compassion that God, that we carry these people to Jesus. Because when you look at Jesus through the ministry, when he performed the mighty miracles, and he was moved with compassion, moved with love towards them. And that is why when Jesus saw this man, he addressed the situation, but he also healed that man completely on that day. So the thing is, we carry people. Open your heart to God. See the need in this community. See the need in this church. We find that when they came to they broke the limitation, they broke the barrier, they broke everything that restricted the power of God to be manifested. The entrance was blocked. They broke that restriction. And how many times we restrict the power of God and we block where the entrance seems to be blocked, we restrict the power of God to be manifested. And today you may be looking at your life and saying, Lord, I'm being stuck in this place. What is restricting me from going forward for that promotion? What is restricting me from being healed? What is restricting my finances? What is restricting my children? What is restricting this ministry? What is blocking this ministry? What is blocking us? What is stopping the power of God moving in this ministry? So there must be some blockage that is the entrance was blocked. The Bible says there was no way, the doorway was blocked. Remember the lady with the issue of blood? She pressed her way through that crowd. She pressed that way to that crowd till she touched the hem of garment. She did something that, although she was weak and she was not strong enough, but she pressed herself to that crowd. Remember Zacchaeus, the Bible says he was short of stature and he could not see Jesus. What he did? He, because of the crowd, he began to climb a little higher. So what is blocking your entrance? What is limiting the power of God being manifested in your life, in your finances, in your health, in our lives? What is blocking the power of God even to be manifested in your lives? And so many times, even for sometimes, people distract us, block us from going near to Jesus. It's a fact, because this story, the Bible says, the house was full. And nobody could enter in the house because it was too crowded, and the people blocked people from drawing near to Christ. And so many times we allow people to block us from being with Christ and receiving a miracle from Christ. Remember Bartimaeus, when he said, when he cried out the more, the people said to him, shut up, keep quiet, be still. So the crowd will always want you to be still. But Bartimaeus, he did something extraordinary. He cried out the more. And he got the attention of Jesus. So don't let limitations block this ministry, block your life, block your blessing, block your promotion. Don't let limitations block you as an individual person from not going forward with Jesus. So we must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do that which he purposed in our lives. The thing is, even when you look at the story, these four men, they acted in unity, they acted in faith as well. Now, just think for a moment, if these four men came from Frimley, now, carrying the stretcher from Frimley right to Aldershot. Now, just imagine now, there were no cars in those days. And the Bible says they carried this man. There's no sense of complaining or disunity or grumbling amongst these four men. They never say, oh, we want to give up. It's too hard. We cannot do this. It's a very difficult task. They kept on going, they kept on going, they kept on going. And even when they came to the house, oh, they saw the crowd, let us give up. You just think the consequences what these four men did. They even broke the man's roof tiles. That's how they moved the power of unity. With unity, we can accomplish the supernatural in this church. You don't need to, with four, you would just say there were four men. With four people, you can do great supernatural things. You can bring people to Jesus. You can lead people to Jesus. People can be healed. People can be delivered. And people can be set free. Because where there's unity, there is power. The unity and the power of the Holy Spirit works together. Even the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they were one accord, one place. And something happened in that upper room. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. So only God is asking just for a few people to be united, because it's better to have four people united than 4,000 people that are divided. So the unity that we have, that we possess, we must start to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will ignite that unity and bring this man to Jesus. When you look at the Bible, it doesn't give all the details, but these four men, they carried this man to Jesus, and the decision was to lay him at the feet of Jesus. And it's through their faith this man was healed. So you see, even we look at the process of carrying somebody, it's not just carrying them and said, "Oh, we're here now by Farnborough. Let's leave this man and go." You see, you have to have that burden with you for the people to be saved, people to be healed, and people to be delivered, and people to be set free. So the Holy Spirit can work in the church and work in the lives of the people. So the power of the Holy Spirit must work as never before. And even when you look at these four men, they even broke the spirit of fear. They broke the spirit of the unknown, the crowd, the religious people, even the owner of the house. These men were bold, they were courageous. Suppose these four men walked away, they would not see the power of God. Even sometimes fear will cripple you, bind you, and keep you in bondage. Fear will make you walk from away from the impossibility. Fear will make you to walk away from things that God has ordained for you. God has a great plan and a great purpose for you. Your miracle is on its way. You came too far to stop. God wants you to believe for the impossible, for the supernatural, for the miraculous. He wants to demonstrate that power in your life. These four men did something that was not done before. So we need to break that spirit of fear over this church, over our lives, over our family, over our children, and see the power of God be manifested in every area of our lives. As I said, these four men, they only had one vision. And that vision was to bring that man to Jesus. Nothing else. Because they knew as once they brought him to Jesus, Jesus will fix him up, Jesus will heal him, Jesus will deliver him, and Jesus will give him a new life. Jesus will do something new in his life. So that must be the vision for us as individuals, is to bring them through with our prayers to Jesus and see them saved, see them delivered, see them set free, see them having a victorious life. So God wants to bring complete healing. And even the story, what Jesus said when he healed that man, he said, "Go home now." Go start your new life. This is a new beginning for you. This is a new future for you. There's something brand new for you. God gave this man another new heart. A forgiven heart. A person that could now be redeemed by Christ. So God wants to do something supernatural in each and every one of our lives. So when we walk in the miraculous, we need to break the spirit of limitations, break fear, break unbelief, and even the spirit of disunity. Let's start to grieve as one. And our one goal is to bring people to Christ Jesus, to see people being healed, to see people being delivered and seeing people set free. God wants to complete His purpose in our lives. I said one of the things I wrote here, God miraculously gave these four men a breakthrough. The number four in the Bible refers to completion. And these people witnessed the completion of the request when their friend was healed. Although they had to overcome certain barriers and obstacles, they still pursued. Some of us have stopped believing in the completion of our miracles because of negative circumstances. God desires to complete the things that is undone in our lives. So whatever is undone in your life, in my life, God is able to finish it because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And He said, the work I started, I will complete it. So God wants to complete the work in your life. He wants to complete the work in my life. He wants to complete the work in this ministry. So God wants to complete every task that He set before this church. And I believe with all my heart He wants to do something supernatural. So let's start praying and let's start believing and say, God, we desire to walk in the supernatural. Let's pray this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe this morning you have a need this morning. Maybe you're not well. Maybe you want God to do a breakthrough in your life. Maybe you're struggling with some things in your life. This morning you can just raise your hand and you can put it down and we're going to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power. And thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God of the supernatural. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you put a passion and a desire even within our hearts to be often in your presence, O God. And too many times, Lord, forgive us, O God, that we are often in other places, O God. But today we pray that you'll help us to be often in thy presence, O God. And I pray that you'll give us the strength to be in your presence. Let us be focused. And Lord, just like these four men, they were focused of seeing their friend being healed, O God. And today we pray that today that our lives will be focused on seeing people being saved, people being healed, and people being delivered, O God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that even the spirit of limitations that we put on you and the spirit of limitations that we have, Lord, that you break those limitations or those barriers in our lives, O God. And I pray, Father, that your power will be manifested in the name of Jesus, because you are the God of no limits, O God. You are the God of increase. You are the God of multiplication. You are the God of addition. And today we pray that you break the spirit of limitations in the name of your Son Jesus. And the power of the Holy Spirit will be demonstrated, O God. Even I pray that every barrier and thing that is blocking the power of God be manifested in this ministry, in this church, in the lives of the people, Lord Jesus. Even for those that have raised their hands this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you break those barriers in the name of your Son Jesus. We break the spirit of limitations in the name of Jesus, and the unbelief, Lord Jesus, the fear that they have, Lord Jesus, we pray will be broken today by the power of God in the name of your Son Jesus. And I pray that your glory and your power will be manifested in Jesus' mighty name. We pray that your glory will be manifested in this church, O God, in the lives of people, Lord Jesus, even in their health, in their finances, with their children, in their home, in their marriages, O God. We pray, Lord, that the glory of God will be manifested in the name of Jesus. I pray that even today, Father, that you'll unite the believers, O God, unite marriages, O God, unite this church, O God, unite, O God, even the people in this church, O God. We pray that you'll make them one, and I pray that in the name of Jesus, that your glory and your power will be manifested in Jesus' mighty name, that every barriers in the church, O God, will be broken today by the power of your Spirit, O God. Today we pray that you'll give us hearts of faith, Lord Jesus, hearts of faith, O God, to believe you for the supernatural, for the miraculous, for the impossibility, O God. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, that you'll stir up our faith, that you'll increase our faith, because faith comes by hearing, and keep on hearing the word of God. And today we pray that we'll grow in faith, Lord Jesus, and we pray that the faith of God will increase in our lives, O God. We pray that you'll remove the spirit of unbelief from this church, unbelief from our lives, O God, unbelief from our family. We pray that your faith will arise in the name of Jesus, and even the fears that we have, Lord Jesus, that you remove those fears, O God. And we pray that you'll make us bold and make us courageous, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray that you'll bless this ministry, and I pray that the glory, the presence, and the power of God even to be manifested in the name of Jesus. We pray for those who raised their hands this morning. We pray that you'll touch them in the name of Jesus. We pray that the glory of God even to be manifested in the name of Jesus, that you administer healing, administer deliverance, administer restoration, O God, and may the power of the Spirit of God even to be manifested in the name of Jesus. Let it be manifested in the name of Jesus. Let it be manifested in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you'll strengthen people, Lord Jesus, heal people, Lord Jesus, remove the discouragement, remove the hurt, Lord Jesus, remove the pain, O God, remove the suffering, Lord Jesus, and let your power be manifested, your glory be manifested in this ministry. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll heal the brokenhearted, and Lord, we pray that you'll set the captives free, Lord Jesus, because thy word declares that whoever the Son set free, they are free indeed, Lord Jesus. Father, we just commit this ministry in your hands, O God, and bless the leadership of this church, O God, that this church will go forward, O God. They'll have one vision, O God, to see lost sinners being saved, being healed, being delivered, and being set free, Lord Jesus. They'll have this vision, O God. They'll not lose sight of this vision, O God. And I pray that the glory of God will be manifested. Lord, we pray that your anointing will be upon them, and your power will just be with them, Lord Jesus. And bless this ministry, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And bless each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.